Thank you, Joe. We're so glad you came all the way from North Carolina to be with us on this auspicious occasion in this beautiful stage. Now, a group that we love very much, they've been to the Folk Festival many times. Yes, let's give him a hand. Clap him off the stage. Mount Carmel Free Will Church Choir. This is their fourth Florida Folk Festival. And we welcome them under the direction of Choice Butler. I think maybe she likes it. She'll tell you how she wants it. Is that the way you want it? All right. Don't put the girls in front or behind you. While they're getting ready, let's all say, rain, rain, go away. Come again some other day.
Because God do not put any more upon you than you can bear. And we are determined to carry on his work. Thank you.
Thank you. Weren't they great? Let's clap them off the stage. We are still asking for John Peters to report backstage. John Peters of the Times Union, please report backstage if you're in earshot, and if anybody knows John, we need to get hold of him. It's real important. We were excited that this next fine banjoist accepted our invitation to come and take part in the folk festival. We've wanted him to come for a long time, and our dream came true. And here is the distinguished Paul Cadwell of Jackson Heights, New York, five-string banjoist.
It's the five-string banjo, bare finger style on nylon strings. It used to be gut, and it's the style that was played beginning with the 80s and on through mainly up until World War I. I'll play a St. Louis tickle to start with. Years ago, I decided to put together some dance tunes for a country dance medley, and I called the Cadwell Country Dance Medley. You'll recognize most of them, I guess. Thank you. There'll be a concluding number that was requested by Cousin Thelma. So this will be the ragtime episode by Paul Eno, a Philadelphian, who was a famous composer close after the turn of the century. He had 10 banjo clubs going at the same time in the Philadelphia area. Paul Eno's ragtime episode.
Isn't he beautiful? He'll be on the program tonight. The program is so rich, and we always run a little late, so I hate to have to say hurry. We couldn't have a Florida Folk Festival without the First Citizens of Florida, and we have three marvelous representatives of the Seminoles of Florida. Betty Mae, will you come out? Betty Mae Jumper. Betty Mae represents the Seminole community at Hollywood. Frank Shore, will you come out? Frank. Frank is the chief medicine man of the Cow Creek tribe at Brighton Reservation at Okeechobee, Florida. Let's give him a great big hand. And his beautiful wife, Lottie Shore. Come on, Lottie. And all three of them are very famous in their own right. Now, Lottie is the great-granddaughter of Polly Parker, who was known as the Evangeline of the Everglades, because she was a great heroine during the Seminole Indian Wars. And sometime when we have a little more time, we'll tell that beautiful story. Now, I'm going to ask, Frank, would you like to say a word or two?
He said he hasn't been here for 3 years because he was sick. But from now on, he's hoping to come every year. He said he hates to miss this folk festival.
That's sweet music to our ears, Frank, because I tell you, we've missed you, and you just don't know how many hundreds of your friends have asked about you and Lottie. And we are so happy that you are here. Now, I know Lottie well enough to know that she's a very modest lady, as you can see. And I know she doesn't want to say a word, do you, Lottie? You want to say something, Lottie?
She says she's a spoiled glad to be here tonight.
That's beautiful. All right. One lovely thing about Betty Mae was, Betty Mae was the first Seminole Indian girl to receive a high school education. When were you graduated from high school?
1945.
In 1945. You know, that's pretty disgraceful, isn't it? It is, really, that we haven't seen that they were all had a high school education. Well, Betty's going to step up to the mic now and quickly sing you a little song.
I'm going to sing one of the familiar songs that when I was a little girl, a missionary from Oklahoma came down and taught me, and I sang that all my life, and it seemed like that it always helped me go through life to call on him, one of the greatest men that ever lived, and that was Jesus. And it's a song about him. Jesus, as I know, Jesus, to God, I could talk, Jesus, hope we talk in a kid, yik talk with Jesus in yik tis. As I know, Jesus, as I know, Jesus, as I know, Jesus, not to God, talk, Jesus.
I'm Fran from Gainesville.
Once there was a new world. It was so new that it didn't even have a name. An Italian named Christopher Columbus had run up on it when he thought he was sailing to India the long way around. And now it was 15 years later, the year 1513, and a Spaniard named Ponce de Leon, or as we Americans say it, Ponce de Leon, was landing on a peninsula of that new continent. Ponce de Leon, they say he was looking for the Fountain of Youth. And if he didn't find it, he was mighty close. We associate ceremony and splendor with those Renaissance Spaniards. So can't you just see the swords and helmets flashing in the sun, the red cloaks tossed back, the kneeling and the signing of the cross, and the singing Spanish syllables as Ponce de Leon claimed this green peninsula in the name of Ferdinand V of Spain, his most Catholic majesty, and gave it the name it still bears today, Florida, or Florida, he called it then. Why Florida? Because it was Easter time when Ponce de Leon came, and the Spaniards called that holy day Pascua Florida, or Festival of Flowers. Besides, they say, Ponce de Leon and his men thought that Florida looked like a flowery land, a land of flowers. And so the Spanish adjective Florida, meaning full of flowers, in bloom, select, and choice, was a great choice of a name, I think, for this peninsula. It's the oldest white man's name on the continent. And since, in those 462 years since Ponce de Leon gave it that name, the flags of four other nations have flown over it, but the Spanish name has never changed. Thousands of other names have fallen on Florida since that time, and all of them together, the names of the towns, the counties, the rivers, the lakes, the prairies, the wide places in the road, can tell us about all there is to know about Florida. The names describe the land, give clues to its climate, its altitude, its latitude, its terrain, its plant and animal life, and so forth. For instance, there are more places in Florida named for citrus trees than any other plant. Two of Florida's 67 counties, Orange County and Citrus County, are examples. And dozens of towns and places and natural features on the land also have names that are the word for orange in one language or another. Next in number are the pine names, from Big Pinellas County to Little Piney Point. And think of all the palm names, Palm Beach County, Palm Beach, and on down to Little Palm Valley. And the water names, and the sand names, and so on, until all the things that grow in Florida and all her natural characteristics are told in her place names. And Florida places are named after people, events, and ideals that Florida wants to remember. There are Jackson County and Jacksonville, for instance, for tough old Andrew Jackson, who accepted Florida from the Spaniards in 1821 on behalf of the United States and was her first military governor, first United States military governor. There are places that are named out of storybooks, out of the Bible, out of classical mythology. Names like Lake Minnehaha, Jupiter and Juno and Venus and Ganymede, and Bethel and Antioch. I wish I had time to tell you just how much is told about Florida in her place names, about Florida and her people, the sides they have taken in wars, the things they've believed in and hoped for and loved and laughed about, and the ways they have earned their living, and the places they and their ancestors came from, and so forth. How many of you know what Florida was doing 200 years ago when the 13 British colonies north of her were gearing up for the rebellion against the British? It's surprising how many Floridians are surprised to know that Florida was a British colony then too. But the difference was this: Florida was a loyal English colony and a haven for hundreds of Tories who came here for protection against the wild Americans of the budding United States of America. England owned Florida just 20 years, but those 20 years included the interesting American Revolutionary period. And two important names that linger on the land in memory of the English occupation are Charlotte and Hillsborough. The British left them here on a bay and a river and maybe a few other natural features to honor Queen Charlotte of England, wife of George III, and Willis Hill, second Viscount Hillsborough, who had received a British land grant from in Florida and had been very much interested in the development of the area. Floridians since then have given those two names to two of their counties, Charlotte County and Hillsborough County, to commemorate the British era. Now, over in Alachua County, where I live, the county seat is named Gainesville, and that naming story is fun to tell. Back in 1853, there was a need to move the county seat of Alachua County from Noonansville, which was named for a Seminole war hero, to a more central location. So influential landowners picked out a spot near a former Indian village called Hogtown and planted a new town there, which they hoped would be chosen as a county seat. County Commissioner William I. Turner proposed for the town the name Gainesville in honor of General Edmund Pendleton Gaines, another Seminole War hero. But another influential citizen, Mr. William H. Lewis, wanted the place named Louisville in his own honor. So, and they couldn't come to an agreement about this. So they had a barbecue at Bowler Springs and invited everybody. And there they debated the issue all afternoon. And finally, Mr. Turner made the punning proposition, which the opposition accepted, that if we gain the courthouse, we'll name the place Gainesville. If we lose the courthouse, we'll name it Louisville. The courthouse was gained, and that's how Gainesville was named for Edmund Pendleton.